Thursday night, and here we are. It's just me and Riff, because hey. Hot Stuff is big off eating a sausage.
He deflected to Germany.
He deflected?
I mean, defected. Defective. Somebody, he's defective in Germany.
He decided to get there very quickly by just firing himself out of an enormous catapult.
Yes.
And he was trying to go to France, but he got deflected to Germany.
I think that's perfectly feasible.
Yep. So, yeah. Just me and Riff. Riff, sometimes I wish you and I were facing each other during the radio shows. I have to turn around
kind
backwards.
Of make things a little easier, yeah, and yep. I have to sit up really straight so I can see over the monitor.
Yeah. Maybe we should get like a table to do radio shows around.
Huh.
And then we'd have to sit there not fucking around. And then we could say to people, when we're recording a radio show, we yeah. don't fuck around.
That's right.
Because right now we're fucking around all the time. We're just constantly fucking around.
Yep. I'm totally not just sitting here doing needlepoint.
Yeah, why are you doing needlepoint? I can't even call you gay, because it's more like you're an old woman.
It's Sinistar needlepoint,
yeah,
though.
Okay, you're...
That's gotta count for something.
Yeah, no. I mean, is it really Sinistar needlepoint? You just started it.
Well, okay. It is future Sinistar needlepoint.
So, in a way, you're like those workers gathering crystals that, in this case, are thread... and building Sinistar one pixel at a time.
Yeah.
Mm. How many colors hath Sinistar?
Sinistar hath 10 colors.
10 colors. That was state of the fucking art back in the '80s, you know.
It sure was.
Good old Sinistar. He lives.
He lives and he hungers.
Yeah. What else does he do?
He instructs cowards to run.
Ah, okay. Saw that video. There was a YouTube video of somebody sort of failing to win at Sinistar.
Yeah, just training him all for ever.
Yep, just flying in circles around Sinistar. Sinistar was fucking hard, man. That was a game where I'd go and I'd put a quarter in it, and then I'd be like, all right, I'm dead. I'm not playing that fucking thing
yeah.
again.
Man, when I was, you know, like really little, like... 5 or 6 or something, that machine scared the piss out of me. Because you just walk past it and it goes, I hunger! It's like, Jesus!
All he does is hunger. He's never like, I am full.
Right, even see, that's lose. Sinistar. Sinistar doesn't get full.
Yeah, I guess he's maybe his maw is actually a black hole.
Could be.
That's his power
it
source.
It does have an incredible gravitational pull.
It's what allows him to move so fast. Does he actually have his own gravity?
If you get too near him, yeah, you're pulled gravitationally into his mouth.
Does he make his own gravy?
That I don't know.
If so, is it made out of rocks and crystals?
Crystal gravy.
And his own ground-up workers?
Like that Saturday Night Live commercial for
crystal
gravy. Do you
suppose
that he
treats his workers well? The little crab dudes?
No, he's probably like the stereotypical evil villain that will kill any one of them at a drop of a hat.
Well, and he'll just eat the people who made him?
Yeah.
So he's like basically anyone who eats their parents?
Yeah.
Or the sort of army of nanobots that assembled them in, like, my case?
Hmm.
Really, the only reason my story is that eventually I'm going to have to slay Macbeth.
Wait. What?
Because I wasn't born of woman. I was assembled by nanobots.
Okay.
Yeah. That would have actually made sense. Also, I'm going to need you to dress like a tree.
Man, I don't have a tree costume. My friend Nick in high school had an awesome cactus costume.
Like, he dressed like an awesome cactus, or the costume was awesome?
Well, both, huh. I guess.
I mean, any cactus is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, a person dressed as a cactus is awesome.
Yeah. What did he make it himself?
I don't know. Probably his mother made it.
Hmm. That's pretty cool.
Like an old Halloween costume, but we used it for a video history report he did for history class 1 year.
Not for some sort of LSD rave party.
No, although the video was pretty similar to that.
Really?
Yeah, it was. They had a really cool history teacher. The history teacher actually introduced them to Star Control 2, I think.
Huh.
Yeah, but he let them, you know, make a video. I don't care what it's about, as long as it's vaguely historical. So they did a video about how Calvin Coolidge was actually an alien from the planet Libdra 5.
And how did the person dressed as a cactus come into play?
He was one of Calvin Coolidge's assistants or something. There was a scene, apparently it was a real life fact, that Coolidge would like push all his intercom buttons in his office and then hide so that when all the people came in the room they couldn't find him. It was like his little joke that he liked to play. So we did a little scene about that where first the secretary comes in and then, you know, his the governor of whatever comes in, and then the pizza guy comes in, and then the guy dressed like a cactus comes in. And
So it was never explained what the guy dressed like a cactus did for him?
Nope.
Was Calvin Coolidge Mexican? Because maybe the guy dressed as a cactus was his bad.
Oh, that's possible. I don't know if Calvin Coolidge was Mexican or not.
Do they wear sombreros on Liptron 5?
I bet they would if they were aware of them.
Because sombreros are cool, and yeah. Any species that you introduce them to immediately adopts them as exactly. A part of their own cultural heritage.
I think...
Has that ever actually happened? Has anyone ever adopted the sombrero as a part of their cultural heritage?
I don't know about part of their cultural heritage. There was a homeless guy in Pittsburgh that had a really awesome sombrero.
Every once in a while, you'll see, like, some jack-off wearing a sombrero. Like, maybe when the jack-offs had their first meetings with the Mexicans. You know, the historic Mexican jack-off accord.
Yeah. to coin a phrase.
Yeah. I had this idea today. I was thinking about what sorts of aliens would be valuable in like what sorts of like alien life forms or alien biological information would be valuable like in a say Star Control 2 sense. And I was thinking of like a planet where the dominant species was like a vagina that just looked like a Bible.
Okay, what?
Well, no. So you'd put it on you could just keep it on your bookshelf, right? And at like for the most part, people would be
"Oh, I see.
You got the Bible there," and you're like, "Yes, I do."
It's like
but nobody's actually
going to
take it down and read it because anybody who cares that you have the Bible on your shelf, they've already read that.
Yeah,
shit.
They've got their own.
So they don't know that what you in fact do is take it down off the shelf and then have sex with it.
It's like one of those hidden books, except that one of those secret fake books, except instead of like keeping your passport in it, you keep a vagina.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a vagina is your passport to the nation of fun. My name is Werner Brandes. My vagina is my passport. Verify me.
Have you seen the webcomic Ogloff?
No.
It's a fantasy comic. It's really well illustrated and drawn, and more than half of them are extremely pornographic, and their recurring characters, two of the occasional recurring characters, are these two completely insane dwarves who just come up with the most awesome inventions ever. And one of the ones that they display at one point is a cunt auger, which instead of drilling holes, it drills vaginas.
Huh.
Yeah.
How big are they?
Vagina sized.
But like, I mean, they're dwarves.
Oh, how big are the dwarves?
No, I meant how big are the vaginas that auger meant.
I don't know. I mean, do you think a dwarf's vagina is smaller or larger than a human's vagina?
Well, I didn't really know anything about the context of this comic. So it's a fantasy comic as opposed to like there are elves and dwarves and shit, not like this is they're actual like real life dwarfs.
No, it is fantasy.
Okay. So pornographic fantasy webcomic?
Yep.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. In fact, the less pornographic ones tend to be funnier. I'm not sure why that is. Maybe they used all the creative juices on the porn.
It's hard to laugh and masturbate at the same time.
Yeah.
Creative juices. That's the... wow, tons and tons of Twitter questions came in, which is weird. Normally we don't get anywhere near this many. So, what we haven't talked about is what have you been playing, Riff?
What have I been playing? Jenny and I have been playing a bunch of Borderlands.
I saw that. You have not lost interest in it?
Nope, not yet. You said you had a problem with running out of guys to kill at some point or something?
Yeah. I got basically stuck in it because in the opening area, the area that you start in, mm-hmm. it eventually got to the point where the only thing that I had this one quest to do, and it was to kill this guy who was, like, too high of a level for me to kill before he killed me.
See, that's weird because we get respawns everywhere and constantly. When we were, like, level 15 or whatever it is, when you leave that first area, we still had those same two level 4 dudes that always spawn outside of the city taking pot shots at us.
Huh.
And then, yeah, we have not at all had a problem with finding guys to kill.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I was just missing something, but I was just sort of like, there was me, and then there was this dude that I had, the guy with 3 balls or whatever.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Killed him, like, 3 times.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this was a long time ago. I could be remembering it incorrectly.
Hmm.
You know, maybe there was plenty of other stuff for me to do. I also had a hard time. Like, the interface on the PC was fucking terrible.
Oh, really?
Like, there was a bunch of stuff where the mouse wheel should have worked, but it didn't. And so in order to look at all the details of an item in your inventory, like, the inventory screen was just baffling to me. Like,
yeah, the menus are really cumbersome and strangely.
I don't get how... I don't understand why they fuck that up so badly on console games all the time. Like, I feel like the inventory screens on Mass Effect, on the first one, were just completely incomprehensible
to me. Play it.
And I don't know how do you spend $5 million developing a game? I don't know if that's actually what Mass Effect cost, but like, how do you spend as much as, say, Mass Effect or Borderlands cost, and, like, that's the best you can do for an inventory system? Because I'm not wrong, right? Like, that, yeah. The thing is fucking inscrutable.
Yeah, it really is. It's really hard to compare stuff to other stuff, especially if you're playing split screen, so you can only see half of your window, and you have to slide it back and forth to see the text all the way across it.
So there was a ton of shit in the PC interface for Borderlands that just required you to constantly be moving your hand between the mouse and the keyboard, which is just that's unforgivable.
That's broken.
It's unforgivable in a long term play game like that. I mean, it's even unforgivable in anything. You just can't do that, right? You cannot make somebody like you. I guess you wouldn't have to move your hand from the mouse to the keyboard, but there were just like every time you got a quest dialogue, you had to hit enter. Right, so like you could have done it with your left hand and then gone back to WASD or whatever, but like, yeah, it was just the interface was just really kind of
okay button or something.
As far as I can remember, there were just these really really dubious port issues because it was like obviously ported from a console game,
yeah.
Right? How different is the inventory screen in Fallout 3 from PS3 to PC?
I couldn't tell you. I've only played it on PS3.
Because the inventory in Fallout 3 did not bother me at all.
No, I didn't either. Although,
if it's the same,
I frequently accidentally dumped my entire inventory into a cabinet or took the entirety of a filing cabinet into my inventory when that was the cabinet that I stored everything in.
Yeah, I actually noticed
that
myself.
Sucked,
I was playing a ton of it here recently, and I noticed that that happened to me every once in a while. It got to the point where I would fucking quick save before I went to put shit in my cabinet, so if I did that, I was just like, oh, fuck!
Yeah.
So what would happen to me is, alright, so the way this interface works is if you have more than 6 of something, and you click on it to move it, then it pops up a thing where A drops all of them, right? Handy shortcut. If you don't, you, like, so what would happen is I would have, like, 5 of something, and I'd be like, all right, I want to move all of them, so I would just click on it and hit A, and what A does on that screen, after putting one of the thing in the container, is takes the entire contents of the container and puts it in your inventory.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like it's probably a similar thing happening, only with the... That said, you know, not everybody plays it like a complete fucking pack rat like you do and like I do, right? Like
I had, man, it was, I had problems also with, when you go to drop something, if you've got the multiples, if you only drop one and you've got a lot of them, you have to scroll all the way to the end of the scroll bar so you can hit one, drop it. then bring up your inventory again and drop this. Okay, drop one of this.
Well, right, because you were like trying to drop things into the world.
Yeah,
all
because
the time.
Because yeah. I had a room that was entirely filled with whiskey and double eggs.
Right.
And I that room eventually started giving the game problems too.
I played. I have not yet actually looked at this character to see how many hours I logged in it on my second playthrough, where I actually did like all of the DLC. I fucking explored every map point.
Nice.
I
did that on the main game. I couldn't do that in all the DLC because the PS3 version of the DLC just crashed so often.
That's what you're saying. That's a shame. Like Point Lookout was really good.
Yeah.
The fucking getting the Vault 87 map point, where you have to just basically, like, pause the game more frequently than once a second to just load up on Radaway.
Oh, right.
Because
right.
You cannot actually get the map marker without going into, like, a 700 or 800 rads
yeah.
a second radiation zone. That was, which is why they didn't do an achievement or whatever for that. I found myself not caring. When I installed Fallout 3 this time, it was the Game of the Year edition, which was, like, integrated with Windows Live, mm-hmm. which I apparently set up at some point. So it was like, you know, I was earning gamer points and shit, but I just didn't care.
Yeah, I haven't paid at all attention to the trophies in PS3. Have you looked at the thing that they're doing for Fallout New Vegas, the hardcore mode?
Yeah. So I think that you can do well. Okay, you can do some similar stuff. All right, I guess for those of you who don't know about it, hardcore mode, Fallout 3 is, you know, all about surviving in the wasteland. Same with New Vegas, and the sort of, they make a lot of allowances to make it a cool game, right? Like, and playable as a game, and making you feel powerful, and you actually leveling up and being able to kill shit. So, like, ammo for your guns doesn't weigh anything.
Right.
You know, your inventory management is not, like, super, super horrible. Hardcore mode in Fallout New Vegas, apparently, like, you have to drink water pretty frequently
yeah.
or you get sick. If you get injured, like if you step on a landmine, you can't just use a stim pack and fix it. You have to like limp to a doctor.
Yeah. Stim packs are heal over time instead of instant.
Yeah, so you can't like pause in the middle of a fight and heal.
Yeah.
I feel like that is going to be like autosave mode.
Yeah. I figure I am probably not going to play that way, but after I finish, I might do a second character and try it.
I am curious as to whether or not they alter the difficulty of the game at all as an affordance to that playstyle.
I don't know.
Right. Because I know there are mods for Fallout 3 that, like, require you to eat and drink.
Yeah.
Right. And it seems like maybe they were toying with that idea to begin with, because there's all this food. There are all these food items that you find all over the place, and they don't really do anything. It's just like, here's 50 different ways to get some more hit points, and some of them give you radiation and some of them don't.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, that's weird.
Yeah, and considering how many stim packs there are in the world, you really never have to use them except in the most weird
situations. Yeah, I guess
situations.
That's true. Like, I think I've got, like, 500 stim packs used over the course of playing or something. It's just, you know, gets to the point where they're so common, it's like, all right, in the middle of a fight, I'm just going to keep standing still and shooting this dude in the head, and then every once in a while pause, stim pack. All right, keep shooting this dude in the head.
Yep.
The fucking higher-order enemies that they introduced with the Broken Steel expansion are, like,
those ghouls, man.
Those reavers, yeah.
Yeah.
And the super mutant overlords. They're just like 10 times as hard as the nearest enemy to difficulty. They're so hard I can't even fucking talk, Riff.
That's pretty hard.
So yeah, I decided that my goal was going to be to... So I just got like a bunch of money or whatever, you know, got hit the level cap a long time ago, and then I was like, alright, I need to explore all this stuff, but I want to see what it does when you buy all this shit for your house, because I never did that before, right? So I bought all the actual useful stuff, and then did the, what do you call it? It's the, like, love machine theme.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever. I forget what the actual name of it is, but... It basically decorates your house like Eulogy Jones's pad from Paradise Falls. So there's like this giant, like, velvety heart-shaped bed on the floor in the main room, and then this, like, sculpture of two girls making out hanging from the ceiling.
Yeah.
And So I got that bed and then went and killed every Deathclaw that I could find and just littered the bed with Deathclaw hands. Yeah, so.
Oh, that's not creepy.
Yeah, that's where I live. I sleep there. Sleep in that bed. It is actually kind of handy because the bed is right inside the door.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Like, you don't have to, like, go up the stairs and find the bed.
I played around with those themes, but they all seem to put some big object in the middle of that floor, and I just found that to be too much of a pain in the ass because all my storage was up in that one little room where you've got like the desk and the filing cabinet.
Oh,
so I just getting across the room and going upstairs was too much of a hassle with the big picnic table in the middle of the
right.
floor or whatever.
Yeah, I got rid of that. I tried that one first, and then the sexy one. But
I could have sold the robot.
Kept all my shit in the lockers downstairs.
Yeah.
So that was easier to get to.
I kept, like, all the shit that I didn't want to keep in the lockers downstairs. Like, all the shit that I intended to eventually find someone to sell it to was down there, and then all the stuff that I wanted to actually keep was upstairs.
I hadn't thought about that. All my shit was mixed in with my souvenirs. Hmm. Like, I kept every uniquely named weapon that I found, because I was like, you know.
I had those spread out all across the room.
God, it's a fucking good game.
It's
you know, the fact
so
that I
was.
The fact that I spent that many hours on it the first time and then did this again and played it even more the second time, man. It's something in there. Something about that game. Hot Stuff didn't seem to be interested in it at all, which
really?
Seems weird to me. He was like, yeah, you know, I watched you guys play it. Doesn't seem that cool.
Huh.
Okay. What else you been playing, Riff? Besides Fallout 3 a year ago.
Borderlands and 3D Dot Game Heroes.
Oh, yeah?
What I've been playing.
I bought that. It was one of those things where I was like, should I go buy that at a store and go home and play it? I'll just Amazon it. And then it showed up and I played it and I'm just, like, not that excited about it.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's kind of hard. I mean, the controls are a little mushy and the bosses are harder than you would expect. I guess they tuned the bosses for people who played the original Zelda as kids and have grown up and become more skilled at video games.
Yeah.
But,
I find that, like, I have a hard time in the dungeons because the floors are really shiny and everything is reflected, and so it makes it more difficult to very quickly judge like where things are. I find myself constantly like, all right, I'm gonna walk up to this bat, and then when I get about the length of my sword away from it, I'm gonna swing my sword and hit it and kill it, but then I just fucking run into it even though I think I'm like, you know, a foot from it on the screen.
Yeah.
Which I don't really understand. Like, and
it
only happens
really
with
just
the
feel twitchy that
stuff.
Way, yeah.
Yeah, the difference in your weapon power between when you're at full health and when you're not so massive. It's like not at all like this sort of like subtle difference in Zelda of like shooting beams or not. Also, it kinda seems to just be like fucking Legend of Zelda, right? Like it's not.
I mean, but I think original Legend of Zelda was pretty sweet, so I'm kind of all over it.
It was, but I mean, what advantage is there in playing this over playing that?
It's different. New. I don't know where everything is. I mean, not that I really knew where everything is in the original Zelda. I didn't have my own NES, but
I feel like it would be like playing a new game now, or play some ROM hack that completely alters it, right? Like, which I think there actually is one, like a fairly well-known ROM hack for Zelda that just makes it a new game. But I don't actually. I think I tried installing it and something got fucked up. I never know what the fuck, man. The emulator scene is like everything's all cryptic, like.
Yeah.
There's the, like, speedrun movie files, but then it's, like, you don't know if it's, like, a movie file or if it's, like, a control recording that goes into, like, one specific kind of emulator. And it's, like, I remember when it was, like, all right, well, Nesticle is the only good NES emulator, and it also has an icon that's a ball sack. So, of course, that's the one that I'm going to use. And everything was for Nesticle. All the ROMs worked. All that shit that Gibbot gave us, what the fuck is a 7Z file? It's a thing that's like annoying, and you have to use some different program
like
to open it.
It's some kind of weird, not exactly zip.
And if it was a zip, then all the fucking emulators could just open it natively, but since it's not, they can't, so you have to download something. Fucking emulator people, man. It's like Linux. It's worse than Linux. Fucking Linux, man. I'm cantankerous and curmudgeonly. When did I get old, Riff?
Man, I don't know.
Bitching about how back in my day there was awesome stuff with nutsack icons. And there was, like, blood dripping from the... Like, the pointer was like a severed hand or something.
Oh, what was that... That thing I got in World of Warcraft? Some major purple necklace I got or something that looked exactly like a nail-studded ball sack.
Cool.
It's horrible.
How is that horrible?
Well, yeah, horrifying, I guess.
But if the icon has a ball sack on it, then it's clearly the best item in the game. Let me see your Sinistar.
Oh, well, okay, it looks like seven dots.
That's an empty black circle.
Yeah. There's like eight little purple dots that you might be able to see.
Hmm. Do you do the colors with the fewest pixels first?
I'm kind of going like inside out, and then like picking a reasonable region and doing that color, and then do some of the bits around that, and I don't know.
How does it work on the back side of that? Are all of the purple pixels the same piece of string?
Not all of them. All of them in a fairly close together clump from each other are.
But then you cut it and tie it off.
Yeah, either tie it off or run the string underneath the previous stitches so it kind of locks itself.
Hmm. I don't know, man. Seems like a lot of work. Couldn't you just hire some illegal immigrants to do it for you?
Yeah, but then I'd have to find something else to do while listening to podcasts.
I see. You could exercise.
That was a funny joke.
Yeah. Ikasu-sama says into the Twitter, any insight as to the June item of the month? Yeah, God. It's a lot of work. We're doing it.
It's coming along.
We're working, and we don't even have the normal fucking end of the month deadline because I'm going to Germany on like the 27th. So who the fuck picked that date? Oh yeah, it was me. Tom Smizzle says, either of you played Alan Wake yet? I recommend it. It does some very interesting things with its storytelling. I probably won't even notice them.
I heard that if you take out all the combat, which is kind of blatantly only there to provide a delay between cutscenes, then it would be one of the best four-hour video games you've ever played.
So you're saying that a video game that consisted entirely of cutscenes could potentially be
if
one
it's
of
a
the best
really
four
awesome
hour.
Story, then yeah. Okay. One of the best four-hour TV shows you've ever watched.
Okay. That I can believe. That I can believe. I've never felt like cutscenes were an acceptable reward for gameplay. I feel like that's what they do, right? I mean, that there are people who are like, oh, cool, I'm going to play the game so I can see the next cutscene. Like, whereas me, I'm like, I'm going to play the game so I can see the next number getting larger by one. That's what I like.
That's because you're old school.
I like my cutscenes like I like my women. Absent. I don't know. Didn't exactly know. I wish I had come up with something funnier for that. I like my cutscenes like I like my women, with Eris dying in them.
Huh, in them.
Yeah. Paul BD says, who should I donate to, Jordan Jesse Go or Overthinking It? Dude, I don't know. Okay, I keep trying when I go to buy something off of Amazon, I keep trying to buy it through the Overthinking It affiliate link, but the affiliate link is only there when I don't want to buy anything.
Weird.
I don't understand what sort of detection software they have running on their web server. Like,
oh,
every
shit,
time
someone's
I'm
going to give us money.
I'm going to go buy something on Amazon. Oh, I'll go to Overthinking It and buy it through their affiliate link. I go to Overthinking It and the affiliate link is just not there. And then every time I go to Overthinking It, like just normally when I'm there, you know, to read their fabulous essays available online at minimumsafedistance.org/overthinkingit.internet. then I see it. I'm like, all right, there's that affiliate link.
I should probably find someone I like that has an affiliate link, considering all the crap I buy on Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's stupid not to, right? Like, We should set up an asymmetric affiliate link.
We and, totally should.
And just buy, like, get back half of our
and,
shit.
And wish lists for all the employees.
I don't... That's sleazy. It's like a fucking wedding registry. You know? Right now, the only gifts that people give us, like, are cool shit that they make.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be on... That's not going to be on my Amazon... Let's pretend that I have an Amazon wish list, and it's some cool shit that you made with your own two hands, or maybe a hand job, if you are a hot girl. Nymal says, the entire eastern seaboard has been taken by zombies. You have a six-pack and a shotgun. What do? Drink the six-pack and shoot myself.
I could try and barter the six-pack for a plane ticket.
To where?
Somewhere where there aren't any zombies.
I mean, it would take a while for zombies to get from the eastern seaboard to here. It kind of depends on the vector by which the zombie plague is spread, right?
Yeah.
Like,
if they're slow zombies or fast zombies?
Well, no. I mean, like, if you could get scratched by a zombie fingernail and then have time to, you know, say, drive from Boston to Las Vegas before you became a full-on zombie and started infecting other people, right?
Like, yeah.
Typical slow zombies, I feel like it would take months. I mean, it would take as long as it takes to walk from Boston to Phoenix if you were, like, really stupid.
There would probably be big, like, government cover-ups to keep everyone from panicking, so when they finally eventually got to wherever you were, you wouldn't be as well prepared.
Huh. Yeah, that would suck. You know, I'd probably get some guns from my mom's house. I'd probably get a motorcycle, because there's one of those at my mom's house.
Yeah. And if you're going to be in a zombie apocalypse, you want to be as awesome as possible.
Yeah, that's true. Like, I'd put some spikes on my leather clothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd wear a helmet but not like a regular motorcycle helmet, like, you know, like a Viking helmet, or like one of those.
Okay, well, like, get like a visored motorcycle helmet and paint a skull on the visor or something.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, and then like a spike on top of it. I mean, I guess spikes on everything, right? Like, yeah. Spikes will just go without saying.
That's
like
a given.
Spikes on all my guns too, right? Like, maybe guns that shoot spikes, or put spikes on each individual bullet.
Yeah, oh, that's good.
Yeah, leather bullets. Nothing. How badass is that? Leather bullets, Riff.
Leather bullets, yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd probably get some water.
That would be a good thing to have.
Yeah. Food, I guess. Whiskey.
I think the most important thing is probably mobility. You don't want to do like people say where they're going to go, I don't know, find a Home Depot and just hole up. Because the zombies are going to get in there eventually, and you're going to run out of shit.
You think? I mean, like,
you got to keep on the move.
The reason that they get into places in movies is because somebody fucks up and goes crazy and, like, tries to go outside, or, you know, they, you know, have to in a desperate bid for survival, in which case they're already fucked, right?
Well, I mean, even if the zombies never get into your base, you've got limited resources in that base if you can't leave.
But then that's the thing. Do the zombies eventually die? Like 28 days later, right? Would have been the right thing to do.
Yeah. If the zombies do eventually die, I don't know that that's something you can count on, though.
I mean, do they eat brains because they have to?
I feel like just keep going.
Or do they eat brains because they want to?
Hmm.
And if they don't, will anybody? Paul BD says, what is your favorite disaster movie? That movie, where zombies take the entire eastern seaboard. Where do they take it? Like, if they just removed the entire eastern seaboard and, like, took it to, like, the zombie Caribbean?
Oh, how would they take it? How would they carry it?
I mean, they could swim, right? Like, with ropes. They just tie a bunch of ropes to New York.
And just pull it off.
Pull it off, yeah.
I guess if you had enough zombies.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. I mean, you know, maybe some of the zombies are civil engineers, so they figure out the best places to tie the ropes.
Okay.
Yeah. Frank and Mean says, why are hot sandwiches so much more awesome than cold ones? You know, that's a good fucking question. So we make lunch here at the office. Hot Stuff and I go grocery shopping, and he gets the fucking three 3 stalks of celery that he eats for lunch every day. So he gets 21 stalks of celery, and that's a week's lunch. And then I get, you know, hot dogs and stuff like that I can fix easily, and, you know, cheese and crackers and hummus and the kinds of things that I normally eat. Sandwiches are a thing that I'm like, I just think of sandwiches as a thing that I don't like. You know, just like really? Some bread and like every once in a while, like a deli sandwich, whatever. But like, I just can't eat it every day. There's too much bread. I don't like the bread. But then I realized, oh yeah, I totally discovered this thing where you get a sandwich that you made and you put it in the microwave for like 25 seconds and then you eat it and it's good.
You know what I also discovered is that all about? Is good is if you take a sandwich and like wrap it in like put some paper towels around it and put it in like a Ziploc bag and then put it under like a flat heavy weight, like put a iron frying pan on top of it and pile some bricks and everything you can find that's heavy around and just leave it there for like 3 hours until it's about this thin. It like
for those of you who are not in the room.
Well, that was okay. So it's like half an inch.
Yeah.
I don't know. It like compresses the deliciousness.
Huh.
I don't know how it works, but it's cool.
So do you then put a slice of bread on either side of that
sandwich? No, you just eat it thin, yeah.
Man, imagine if you made a sandwich that was the size of a regular sandwich, but that dense.
Whoa, that would be... I mean, you could do it. You could make 2 of those sandwiches and then put some cheese and ham in between them.
Mm-hmm. Like a sandwich sandwich?
Yeah, it'd be like a fractal sandwich. You could do that and then press them and then make another one and then put some more stuff in between those two.
Right. Yeah.
Huh. It'd be like a sandwich brick.
I think in general, I just hate like bread. Like there are certain kinds of bread that I like. You know, like I like a rye toast.
Mm. I don't like rye. The seeds get stuck in the gums, and it. Eh.
Boy, I do. I don't have that problem with my gums. Maxter 3829 says, "I K-mailed Jicky about this, but I was wondering, are you going to create a droid-friendly version of KOL?" I don't know. I think it'd be cool if droids played our game.
Astromech droids?
Yeah, like astromech droids or protocol droids or like that weird droid whose job it was to burn other droids' feet.
Yeah.
Like, why?
That little droid screaming. No,
yeah, why would they build robots with the ability to experience pain in their feet? Like, what?
I mean, I guess it would serve the same function that pain serves in people, right? Like, you know, oh shit, something not right is happening.
Oh, right. I shouldn't be standing on this hot surface because my fucking metal feet might get, you know, like what?
Okay.
See, that's what, like, you know, like, imagine that you built a robot, you gave it heat pain sensing circuits in its feet, and then you forgot, oh wait, this robot, its feet are fucking rocket boots. So it's like, hey, could you come over here?
Oh, that's bad.
What do you want?
Or maybe you're just some kind of weird robo-scientist sadist.
Yeah. You know what kind of hot sandwich I like, actually?
What's that?
You know what I used to make this a lot, and now I'm still a little bit disgusted by this because I like the idea of just like a hamburger bun, like a generic grocery store hamburger bun is like so far removed from like food that I feel like it's like equivalent to just eating candy.
Well, if you get like a wheat one or something.
I guess maybe, but anyway, the sandwich that I used to make a lot of is you take a hamburger bun, just like a regular cheap white hamburger bun. And then you take a packet of Carl Budig mechanically separated sliced turkey or ham.
That's very specific.
No, there's different brands. They're not all Carl Budig. For some reason, when my friend Chris was living with me briefly, we would talk about Carl Budig in the as though he were Conan the Barbarian. So you know, we just occasionally shout, "Carl Budig, what is best in life?"
Delicious sandwiches.
Yeah, you know, so
and the limitations of the women.
Which I don't exactly know where that like connection came from, but anyway, so it's basically like It's like slices of meat. You've seen these. It's like a little plastic packet that you tear open, and then inside, it's like sliced meat, except it's like they've taken an entire turkey, put it in a, you know, ground it up into a paste, and then put the paste in a centrifuge.
Yeah.
And take, so they can get every last bit of meat, the meat layer. And then I guess they sell the bones to, I don't know, people who make balloons out of turkey bones.
Balloons?
Yeah, I don't know. I was trying to think of something you could make out of turkey bones. That they would also sell.
You picked a good one.
You know, at the grocery store. Because you don't want to ship. I mean, you ship the Carl Buttig packets and the balloons to the same store.
Okay.
You cut down on overhead. You can afford faster centrifuges.
Well, you could use the balloons to do the shipping.
Oh, that's true. Oh, man. You could smuggle the turkey. So you don't want your mules getting really fat, right? So before they eat the turkey to smuggle it through customs, you stuff it into a balloon.
Made out of turkey bones.
Yeah.
I think...
My people, which is to say the Carl Buttig tribe, use every part of the turkey. So anyway, you use a packet of Carl Buttig turkey or ham. Or even half a packet, because the sandwich is so delicious that you don't even need that much meat. And then a Kraft single. Mm. So you put that on the hamburger bun, and then you microwave it for about 15 seconds, and then you've got just like a delicious, soft, melty sandwich that is almost made out of food.
Yeah. That does sound good. You have to be careful microwaving bread, but...
Like, microwaving bread is one of those things, like, you know, for like 10 seconds, super awesome. 15 yeah. seconds, super awesome. 25 seconds, you just ruined your
yeah,
bread.
It's a rock now.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a threshold. Yeah. But man, at that liminal point, it is sublime.
I'll have to start trying that.
Sublime and liminal must have the same root.
Subliminal?
Subliminal and liminal, like, subliminal is definitely liminal, below yeah. the below the liminal threshold, right?
Right.
But, like, super, super liminal. Super liminal advertising.
So could something be...
Donate to KOL!
Super lime?
I don't know.
It's got a cape?
Yeah, I don't know. Sublimate, you know, is like to... Sublimate is to, like, cross a threshold of a certain way, right? And sublime right. must come from the same root as sublimate, right? Huh. Well, you learn something new, or rather, you make up something new that may or may not be true.
You have
every
an
day.
Interesting question every day.
MasterX3829 says, "You guys have a pesky ant who keeps calling and won't leave you alone? Make it a monster on KOL." I don't have any pesky ants.
Yeah, no.
I have two ants, and they're both fine ladies.
I've got one ant, and I see her at Christmas.
Oh yeah.
Yep.
I don't even see my aunts at Christmas. I see my aunts once every few years when I go. I see my aunts whenever one of them dies.
Wow, you're going to run out.
I guess. No, I see my aunts whenever somebody dies in my family or somebody gets married in my family. You know, I'm really hoping that the next time I go back there, it's for a wedding and not another fucking funeral. That's what I hope. I think my cousin who's in the military is getting married to some woman who's in the military. And man, that's weird. What kind of sex do people who are both in ROTC have? It's really regiment. Yeah, it's like efficient German sex. Only it's like, it. You know, sorry, we didn't get our government rationed packet of lube today. So no anal. I don't know. Seriously though, like what, like. ROTC people. Girls in ROTC. Can you imagine a girl in ROTC having sex at all?
I don't think I ever knew any.
So did you ever see
really
any? Like, you never saw them, like, walking around campus, like, dressed all in a uniform and hair all tight in a bun?
Yeah. I guess kind of like those kind of librarians that aren't the sexy ones.
So just librarians. Not like sort of made up fantasy versions of librarians that don't
totally
really exist.
They're totally sexy librarians.
What?
They exist.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know if I believe that there are actual sexy librarians. I mean, you know, I'm sure that there are, right? Everyone does everything across all walks of life, everything is exactly distributed according to, like, the attractiveness normal distribution of the regular, you know, the general population, and, you know, the sort of racial makeup and income distribution, right? Everything is totally homogenous.
So any combination of those that you can think of, there is at least one person like that.
So you can't, like, profile and say, like, oh, a ninja, I bet he's Asian. Because that's profiling. Nope, yeah, 10% of ninjas are black dudes.
Yep.
Like 51% of them are women. Do they make woman ninjas?
Yeah, the technical term is kunoichi, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Something
kunoichi?
Like that. Something that sounds like that if I haven't exactly got it right.
Do you think that they're sexy, or are they by definition invisible and thus incapable of being sexy?
All the ones I've ever seen have been sexy.
Do you think that something that is invisible can be sexy? Because if not, you're really sort of saying, like, oh, well, it is impossible for a blind person to ever experience sexiness.
Right. This invisible thing can certainly be sexy to a blind person.
I mean, I have to imagine.
I guess it depends on what you find sexy.
If I was blind, getting punched in the stomach would still be sexy.
Because I don't think I'm following the train of thought on that one.
No,
because
it's sexy now. I was just making a joke about how I get sexually aroused by being punched in the stomach.
I see.
I don't really. I don't want to encourage people to punch me in the stomach.
Rocket punch.
Speaking of which, a naked Jew says, there are KOL fanfics written for a contest one time. I won the Lifetime Achievement Award. And he links to kolfanfics.blogspot.com. Available online at kolfanfics.blogspot.com. His best entry was called The Kingdom of No Clothing, and he recalled Mr. Skullhead saying it was pretty funny.
Cool.
Yeah. High praise, buddy. Gleeb says, Sinistar is mean, man. I had to cheat and give myself 99 lives to actually play it on Midway Arcade Treasures 2. Yeah.
If you're really good, you can get 255 lives in it without cheating. Because there's a overflow error where if one of the tanks shoots you at approximately the same time that Sinistar eats you, it'll roll over your life counter.
Huh. So if you die twice in rapid succession?
Yeah.
So you're saying if you're really good, if you manage to get shot and eaten at the same time?
Yep.
I don't know that
difficult,
that means you're good.
But possible.
I mean, Liana says, needlepoint, Pixar, it didn't happen. I wonder if I could do that image in cross-stitch, Herm. What image? What are you talking about?
Maybe some kind of meta picture, like a cross-stitch picture of me doing cross-stitch.
Oh, that image, right? I see. The pic that you send. I see. Pics or GTFO. Riff, all you would have to do would be to download a Twitter client to your phone. Mm-hmm. And then, every time you made or did something cool, you could take a picture of it and post it on the company Twitter, and people would be entertained by your antics, the way we all are.
I do frequently, if I feel that I have something of that nature that is worth posting, I use the Tumblr app on my phone to post a picture of it to minimum safe distance.
I know, but remember back when we made the company Twitter and everybody was using it and everybody was happy?
I did recently.
And you weren't about to get fired?
I recently posted...
Well, no, you didn't.
I did recently post something on Twitter. Jenny and I had entries, well, late unofficial entries.
Jenny and you had entry, and you decided to post about it on Twitter.
To the Twitter length interactive fiction contest.
The 12th?
Yeah.
A Twitter. Yeah, I had to
write an entire interactive fiction game with no more than 140 characters of code.
I guess a 12th would be a tween I'd like to fuck.
But yeah, and I posted about it on my blog and then posted to the company Twitter, hey, me and my girlfriend did a cool thing, and you can read about it over here.
Me and my girlfriend did a cool thing, and here are some pictures.
Yep.
That's... you should post to the Twitter more, Riff. People care about you. People like you. Mm. People would be entertained by you if you gave them the opportunity.
I don't often have anything interesting to say.
That's bullshit. You've got 50 things on your desk that are more interesting than the least interesting thing I've ever posted to Twitter, so you've got the Pokemon defense.
Well, okay. As we are talking, I'll take a picture of something here.
Riff is live tweeting his desk.
That's right. I'm gonna do it on several levels because I'm gonna live Tumblr and then tweet.
Is it called tumbling?
When I don't you do know that? What it's called.
Or tumbling is like what your mom takes you to on the weekends.
Tumbling? What?
Yeah, remember when we were kids?
Oh, okay.
Somebody would be like, "I'm going to tumbling," and it's like gymnastics only for retards. Well, maybe gymnastics only doesn't require any skill. I don't know. Maybe Mike.
I think they just called the one I went to gymnastics.
Oh yeah, you actually did it when you were a kid?
Yeah, like real little. I think my mom just wanted to get me out of the house.
Spryly cavorting. Your mom just wanted to get you out of the house?
I think that's probably the reason.
Maybe so she could do something cool with your dad and post it on Twitter.
I don't even know what to take a picture of. I'm pretty sure most of this area has been posted on my Tumblr at some point.
Look at this shit. You've got knives. You've got, like, some weird summoning circle with a seven-pointed star. You've got a mask of your own face. You've got a picture of your friend Nick dressed as a cactus.
What?
Wait, was it Nick?
It was Nick. I don't have a picture of Nick.
No, but you just have a picture of a cactus. That was the joke.
Well, here.
This is going to be the worst Twitter post. We're going to hemorrhage followers after this bullshit. Riff, you're terrible at this. Fuck, says, my dad was an EMT when I was little, and he had a room full of the CPY, cardiopulmonary yourself, mannequins, and a radio to the station that was always going because he was the station manager, and the mannequin used to freak me the hell out. I thought his name was Roger because everybody would finish their transmission with Roger. You thought your dad's name was Roger. You didn't know your dad's name because... Alright, but the big life-size adult mannequin laying on the floor just creeped me the hell out. You, I believe, spelled mannequin three different ways. Sorry. Do not ask me why I told you this story, if you haven't done it. I think it's funny that you didn't know your dad's name. I think that's the funnier. King Stupid says, what's the radio show plan when you guys go to Germany? Pre-recorded, hosted by the Skullinator? Oh yeah, we don't have anything to do before I leave. Let's pre-record like four radio shows. I think we'll... Hot Stuff and I will probably record them in the various places that we are.
And then send them to somebody
to broadcast.
That'll be interesting. You can do all, you know, on the road kind of stuff.
I guess.
You could, like... If you found... like a really good voice recording app or something, you could record the shows in like 5 minute bits.
I don't know that would be like interesting. Every time, hey, here like, we are in a castle. Look at those rocks. Look
here
at
we are
those
drinking
windows.
A beer. Here we are drinking another beer.
Look at those parapets. I'm gonna get another beer. You know, listeners, I'm not just saying this because I'm drunk, but I love you guys. Seriously, you know, you guys are really what, like, makes it worth it for me, you know? I'm just saying. Woo! We would look important. I bet that if we got, like, real microphones... and, you know, like, carried them around and recorded our show like that, people would think that we were important, and then they would come up to us and show us their boobs.
Yeah, and then you could interview them.
Because that's what... their boobs?
Yeah.
Huh. So, how are you different than American girls' boobs? No, equally silent. Unless they did talk, then they would be like, okay, I know now how your boobs are different than American girls' boobs, because American girls' boobs hardly ever talk. Quink says, hey, Jick, Abracatraz. It wasn't original, as it turned out. Screw that, man. Why does everybody have my ideas ahead of time? Man, I had this idea the other day. I was like, man, I'm going to make something for dinner, and I even came up with a clever name for it. But then I did a Google search for the clever name that I came up with, and somebody already did it. I was all happy because I had invented the burrito. It's a burrito made with lamb and tzatziki and cilantro. Which it wasn't the same thing when they made it, I guess. I don't know. Probably should have put some cucumbers in it, too, just to give the burrito some crunch.
Cucumbers are good in...
I mean, there
were
cucumbers in the
sandwich.
Tzatziki, but... Burrito. Get it? Because it's a gyro burrito.
Oh.
Yep. Let's see.
Is that like a Never mind, go on. Pass.
Evil Vince says, have you guys heard of Super Mario Crossover? It's Super Mario, but you get to play as other Nintendo characters.
I played a little of it. I played it as Samus. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, I played a little of it, too.
And I tweeted just now.
Yeah.
Twittered. Twatted.
You twat.
Yep.
You twank. You're a twink. All right, let's take a little break.
Okay.
I should have gotten some music ready. Same story every fucking time. All right, we'll see you guys in like 10 minutes.
Sing me a given.
So we're back. Did you do anything exciting over the break? Just continued cross-stitch and Sinistar?
Yeah, I think I did, like, this other eyebrow.
Other eyebrow?
Yeah.
Hmm. So you're cross-stitching Sinistar's eyebrow.
Yep.
Let's see. Glebe says, oh, and happy everyone draw Muhammad Day. Is there a Muhammad.gif somewhere in the images server? You know, I'm not at all sure how I feel about that. Like, I get what people are doing, right? I feel like Muslims are the new Asians, right? Like,
can you expand on that?
Well, okay. So it's always really bothered me that it's like not okay to make fun of, it's not okay for white people to make fun of black people in popular culture. It's not okay for white people to make fun of Native Americans. But for whatever reason, it's like okay for white people to make fun of Asians. You know, like the fucking voiceovers on Most Extreme Challenge or whatever. And I mean, I think that maybe the reason that happened, and forgive me for generalizing, but it's like because Asians are nice and aren't going to fuck with you for doing something like that, right?
That makes sense.
You know, there's not like not ever having been a fundamentally oppressed minority, I guess. Maybe you got more of a sense of humor. I don't know. But like, so I feel like this whole everybody draw Muhammad thing, it's like, hey, isn't it bullshit that, like, these certain crazy people are threatening to kill dudes that draw Muhammad? And, like, I think the ones that are threatening to kill people for doing anything are, like, crazy and not representative of their culture at large any more than they're representative of humanity at large. And, like, being... doing something that is, like, mean to all Muslims, you know? Mm. I mean, it's like, everybody fart on Jesus Day, you know? Like, why would you do that? Yeah. Like, I think you wouldn't. I think you wouldn't because you would look at it and you would think, well, that's not okay. You know, that's stupid. It's not worth it to, like, hurt a bunch of people's feelings and look like an asshole, right? And so, like, why is this okay? I mean, you know, South Park made a big deal out of it. Like, you know, their job is to look like assholes by violating social norms, right? You can't make it like a
guide for what's okay.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah. It can't become like institutionalized or like, all right, we've just decided that we're assholes. Like, everybody on the internet, all right, we're assholes. Hey, look, everybody, we're gonna fart on Jesus, and you know. Like, carve our presidents into the mountains of South Dakota. Like, I don't know. You know, so no, I didn't, even though I am arguably a professional artist, I did not participate in Everybody Draw Muhammad Day, because, you know.
I remember hearing, I can't back this up, but I remember reading that prohibition is potentially an extreme misinterpretation of something. Like, it's only recently that people have come to feel that it's wrong to draw an image of Muhammad and that it didn't used to be a problem.
I mean,
like,
I guess this is
a new thing.
I guess I feel like any religious belief is sort of a fundamental misinterpretation of the facts, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
and I mean,
that's
you know,
point.
Like, coming from that standpoint, it's like, it seems especially weird that, like, all right, so we've decided that this one group's bullshit fairy tales deserves our respect, but this other group's equally bullshit fairy tales don't.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, what kind of example are we setting in terms of consistency for people to, like, interpret our actions as a culture, right? Like, I don't know. So, no. You know, I'm just going to continue to not pay any attention to Muhammad or drawings of him. Crystal grapes versus virgins, you know.
Crystal grapes?
Yeah, you know, the notion that the whole, if you die gloriously in battle, that you'll be rewarded with a bunch of virgins. But then it's like, oh wait, that might have said crystal grapes.
Oh, okay. Like that thing at the beginning of Snatch, where the guys dressed as rabbis are talking about how the whole thing about Jesus being a virgin birth was due to a misinterpretation of the Greek word that would normally be interpreted as maiden, like she was just a young girl that was having a kid, and it got mistranslated to being her being a virgin,
right?
And so this entire thing was just a giant cock up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I would argue that that is infinitely more likely than you know, it actually being a virgin birth, you know, the son of some omnipotent super being who loves us, but like.
Or doesn't love us, depending on which volume you're reading.
I mean, like, participating in Everybody Draw Muhammad Day is like loudly eating while somebody is saying grace. Hmm. Right? Like, and you wouldn't do that. So, like, and I mean, where the fuck is this coming from that I care about shit like that? But I mean, I like, it is kind of important to me that people treat each other with respect, right?
Yeah,
like, it is not, I'm not saying that you can't, you know, I don't know. See, and that's why I don't have a problem, like, calling you a fag when you do something faggy, because I respect you and, in general, treat you with respect.
That,
and it's not disrespectful when I say that. It's just, it's real, you know, but, like, then it's apparently disrespectful to fags. So, I
sorry,
guess
fags.
I should stop. Sorry, yeah. Fags. Sags. I just watched the... I showed Roy the Water episode of Look Around You.
Oh, Look Around You is the best thing ever.
I didn't realize... I couldn't figure out why Boing Boing had such a boner for Peter Serafinowicz. Mm. You know, like, why does everybody talk... Like, every time it's like, oh, look what Peter Serafinowicz did. I'm like, who the fuck is Peter Serafinowicz? I'm like, oh, wait, he's the guy that did Look Around You.
Yeah.
Now I understand why I'm supposed to care about the things that he says and does. Because that was pretty fucking good. Having to watch most of those was, like, my favorite part of the mystery hunt this year.
Oh, was that in the mystery hunt this year?
There was a puzzle. where every sentence had a typo in it, but they were all sentences about stuff from Look Around You.
Hmm.
So one sentence also had the word mafipulate in it, right? And so it's like, wait, is that the typo? But I mean, that's how you sort of had to know, right? Like that, all right, so the other typo is clearly the typo that we care about, and mafipulate is a real word in this context. And so, that's, you know, it was, awesome. Just like a trivia. It was a fairly straightforward puzzle, as I recall, at least in the beginning. It was like, you know, just a bunch of trivia questions that you have to watch Look Around You to know.
Sounds kind of like the Problem Sleuth one.
Oh, yeah, was there one of those?
Yeah, so it was a similar sort of thing. It was apparently a list of commands that could have been given instead of the command that was actually given, and so you had to hunt up that page in the archive, and something dropped out of what the real commands were.
Huh. I still don't get it. Maybe reading it as a book will make more sense. I mean, I don't know. You know, it's like my ability to appreciate the internet is broken. I looked at something recently. I feel like yesterday somebody linked to, I don't know, it was something about a gate, and it was like, I wish the gate was like this, and then linked to an episode of Problem Sleuth that was like some fucking like 3-minute flash animation.
Hmm.
Like, what is all this? When did it suddenly become like
the new storyline he started after Problem Sleuth ended? The new one is called Homestuck, and he started doing flash animations for like major events and end of chapter things and.
But how, it's called MS Paint Adventures.
Yeah, that's,
I mean, he was probably
really
always doing them in Photoshop
anymore.
Right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
the very first
Problem Sleuth was like the third one, and the I think he did an actual MS Paint for like 2 frames of the first one, and then realized, yeah, this sucks, I'm gonna do Photoshop.
Fuck writes into the Twitter, to be perfectly honest, I would fart on Jesus on Everybody Fart on Jesus Day. Mm. You know, it's like, it's okay for one guy to be like, oh look, I pissed in a jar and put a crucifix in it. I'm like fucking R. Mutt. What's that guy's real name? Marcel
yeah,
Duchamp.
I think it was Duchamp. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, whatever. Only more offensive. I'm like,
well,
Robert Mapplethorpe.
Artists are different because, I mean, the people who do that sort of thing, I feel like, kind of get more of a pass in the sort of court jester sense.
And I guess now that the internet has democratized the tools for creating content, everybody's a fucking artist.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a fucking artist, right? Like, arguably, I could categorize myself, like, you know, let's say you got taxed differently depending on what your occupation was. Mm. I'm a fucking artist.
Yep.
I draw art, make money, you know?
I've always just felt it doesn't cost you anything to be polite.
Yep. And sometimes, maybe it'll get you a hand job.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you're polite to your grandmother.
Ugh.
No, I mean, she'll hire a prostitute for you to give you a hand job, right? Because she's a cool grandma.
That's much better.
She's not like, yeah, what were you thinking?
Oh, I've never met your grandmother, so I don't know.
No. You never will, buddy, because they're both giving handjobs to Jesus now. Everybody give Jesus a handjob day. That's really every day in heaven, because why wouldn't it be? You know, like, you can slow down time if you're Jesus, right? You know what? You know what I'm gonna do today? I'm gonna get a handjob from everybody. Everyone who has ever lived is gonna give me a handjob today.
Wow, it's like porn Santa Claus.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's implausible, right? Because, like, you take anything, you know, to its extreme. Omnipotence. I mean,
could God make an argument so circular that even he couldn't?
Could God get a hand job so good that even he couldn't enjoy it? I mean, but you know how it's going to end, right? Yeah, I mean, I guess, in general, you don't have to be omniscient to know how a handjob's going to end, but, well, it depends, right?
I mean, I guess...
It depends on how reliable the prostitute is,
yeah,
right?
Assuming like, there's no, like, unusual circumstances.
Maybe it ends with a Lorena Bobbitt.
Oh my god, bees! That no. would be.
Yeah. I actually thought for a second, because you were looking at something off screen. And when I say off screen, I mean outside the boundaries of the little window that I'm looking at you through.
It's kind
of
like watching. You've it's got like widescreen TV.
Yeah, watching a movie about Riff. I thought you had actually seen bees. Oh my god, bees. Oh, are we doing a Marx Brothers mirror scene?
No, I was just kind of waving.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, we watched that recently, actually, on Netflix on demand.
Which one?
We watched two of them. We watched the one that has the same name as that Humphrey Bogart movie, Night in Casablanca.
Okay.
And
In his autobiography, he talks about getting a letter from Warner Brothers lawyers saying he couldn't make a movie named A Night in Casablanca.
Yeah, I heard
and there was this exchange of letters between them where he just kept writing more and more ridiculous stuff until they just stopped replying, and then they made the movie and called it A Night in Casablanca, and nothing ever happened.
We've been called the Marx Brothers longer than you've been using the word brothers, so why don't I sue you?
I mean, his first letter was pretty reasonable, right? Like, it was like, this doesn't make any sense. I have a feeling that nobody who actually knows or does anything in your organization probably even knows about this. It was probably like some asshole new hire in your legal department who's looking to make a name for himself and move up through the ranks, like... You know, but then he got her like, well, could you tell us what the movie is about? And then he just makes these ridiculous stories up. Like, I still don't really understand. Could you maybe give me a more concise summary of the film? And then just returns some completely different, completely ridiculous nonsense. And then just never heard from them again. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
I have to read that.
You do. You do. I got about... I'm like having a Zeno's paradox. I was about to describe the amount of it that I read last night as half of the amount of it that was left in the book. That doesn't really tell you anything. Maybe I read half the book if I was lying prior to last night about reading the book. I kind of don't want to talk about that fucking forum bullshit.
Yeah. The thread got better again.
Did it?
Yeah,
I mean, it wasn't...
Last couple pages have been pretty readable and instructive.
It wasn't ever so bad that I felt like it was... I mean, every once in a while, somebody walks in and is really inflammatory about, like, why don't you all just shut the fuck up and stop complaining? And it's like, you know, don't do that.
There's a page or so of that. Yeah,
that doesn't help.
And then Elf got really pissed and yelled at everybody.
Yeah, no, which is fine. I mean, that's her job, right?
Like, yeah.
So it's... It annoys me that reasonable viewpoints get drowned in sort of caustic rhetoric.
Yeah.
Right? And it, like, that just bothers me as a human being, right? Outside of context. It's not a thing that just happens here. It's not... it's weird. I feel like it's weird to be the people doing something... engaged in this kind of argument with the people that you're doing it for. Because in general, people that, you know, like outfits that make video games don't just talk in the forums one-on-one candidly with people. It's a weird it's a weird position to be in, and it's like, it's, you know, it's hard. And like, I go in there and I say, like, you know, this kind of thing is depressing to me, and it makes it really frustrating to try and, you know, to try and work on anything, because it's like, I can hear people breathing down my neck. I can smell my metaphors being mixed. And then, so, you know, I'll post something like that because it's honest, right? But what I don't want is a bunch of people coming in like, oh, see, guys, you're making Jake depressed, and if he's depressed, he's going to shoot himself instead of working on KOL, so you should never complain, because that's not what I want. But, like, I guess, like you said, maybe people could be polite.
Yeah.
Fucking Darth managing to, like Krovac said, Darth managed to piss off the most patient person who plays KOL.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, yeah, don't do that. And I mean, you know, if I didn't know Gamelli, and, you know, maybe this is a mean thing to say, maybe this is the kind of thing that you're supposed to keep to yourself, maybe if I didn't know Gamelli, And I saw somebody posting that, hey, don't make suicide jokes or jokes about killing children, because I have kids and some of my friends committed suicide, and I, you know, that there's no place for that. That's, I'm just going to stop listening to you. I would probably feel like that was a little oversensitive, maybe, if it had been somebody that I didn't know and really deeply respect, right?
Yeah.
But it was definitely a dick move to counter with more of the same,
yeah.
Right? So, like, that, beyond a shadow of a doubt, was like, all right, now we know, we may or may not all be winners here, but now we at least know who the losers are, right? Like, that's the... fucking forum drama. But, you know, I would rather have that than static forums with nothing but make a KOL and... You know,
this is true. I mean, at least it gave me a reason to go read the forums.
I've got exactly 4.5 million meat. What should I buy if I want to? Vague goal here. Uh-oh, I see some red thread. Are you making Sinistar's evil burning eyes?
I am, in fact.
Good old Sinistar, right here and now. Sinistar is a underutilized baby name, I think.
Wow, that would be kind of awesome. Yeah.
In fact, I don't know if there's any babies named Sinistar. It really, if you could translate what a baby cries, it would
be, yeah.
Yeah, I live, I hunger.
I'm hungry.
Probably not coward.
Run coward.
Probably not run coward, but yeah. No, but I mean, that's like, because what does a kid know? Like, what does a newborn baby know other than, like, it has some vague sense that it exists, maybe, right? I'm kind of doubtful about that. But it definitely knows that it's hungry.
Yep.
Yeah. Really, you could make a baby translator, and it could just be Sinistar. It could just be a Sinistar cabinet saying, I live and I hunger at random in your house. I think I'm doing that. When I have a baby,
that's an awesome
instead
idea.
Of installing a baby monitor, I'm just going to get a Sinistar cabinet for my bedroom. Leave it on with the volume all the way up, all the time.
Yeah.
That'd be
really good for the baby.
Yeah. You could maybe get that hacked version of Sinistar where he occasionally dies of SIDS. Oh.
Oh, dang.
That was my least favorite Sinistar variant. Ah, you're making it too easy on me, buddy. Again, probably not funny, because I've never had a baby, you know? Not that I know of, and I've never had one of my babies die of SIDS that I know of! I mean, who knows? Like, they might have died of SIDS while I was smothering them with that pillow. Anything could happen, right?
Wow.
See? And this is me, this is the guy telling you that everybody draw Muhammad Day is too offensive to adopt as a culture. But I'm just one dude, that's what I'm saying, that's my point. I'm one dude, and I can be as big of an asshole as I want. I'm not telling everybody else that they should make these jokes. In a way, I'm dying for your sins, everybody. I'm making these jokes so that you don't have to.
That's right. Bigger than John Lennon?
I'm probably taller than John Lennon. Actually, I don't know. Maybe he was crazy tall.
Yeah, well, I bet the internet can tell us.
You know, do you think, like, what?
5'11". 5'11".
Huh.
There you go.
Never forget. I'm a mom.
Oh, apparently Paul and George were also 5'11".
Crazy. No wonder they got along so well.
Yeah.
Like, the pretentious artist and I, same height.
Nice.
And that's why we're buddies. We go to, like, being tall clubs together. we buy our shoes at the same tall dude shoe store.
Is that what it's called?
We did, this makes me seem even gayer than usual, but the pretentious artist and I, when we lived together, when we first moved to Phoenix, like, our clothes were all exactly the same size, so, and it wasn't like, oh, can I borrow that cute top to go out tonight? It was like, oh, fuck. Literally every pair of pants that I have is completely soaked in diarrhea.
Yeah.
can I borrow a pair of pants? It works. Caked in filth would have been. You know,
that was, yeah. But, I mean, you took it a step farther, and I think it was funnier because of that.
No,
I wasn't willing to go that whole 9 yards.
Because I also, yeah, we ate at a lot of really dubious restaurants when we were living together, and so it was not impossible for all of my pants to be soaked in diarrhea at the same time.
Oh man, did you?
Montezuma definitely took his revenge on my trousers.
Smoove's two dogs, those two chihuahuas that his girlfriend got. Apparently, Smoove was out of town for most of the morning. The dogs.
Which was out of town for most of the morning?
Well, I'm not clear on those details. But what happened was, while he was gone, and it was just his girlfriend in the house, I guess while she went to work or whatever, I guess he was not gone all day. But she went to work, got home, and discovered that the dogs had eaten a quarter pound of coffee grounds and just blasted shit all over the house.
I bet it smelled nice.
I imagine...
It probably didn't smell nice.
just imagine what was going through those dogs' head.
Yeah, because, I mean, a chihuahua...
That much coffee's like, oh my god, yeah!
Because a chihuahua... I have to imagine, when I think about the inside of a chihuahua's head, I think about, like... Imagine, like, a Warner Brothers cartoon, like a Looney Tunes cartoon about, like, a factory...
Yeah, yeah.
Only that's the backdrop for like a Benny Hill skit. that is what's going on in a chihuahua's head all the time. That and just a desperate, desperate yearning to die. Because, those fucking chihuahuas should not exist. I'm sorry, chihuahuas. I'm sure that you're all adorable and shit, but like, you know, that is mankind's vanity taken to a very... very dubious moral extreme. And, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it, chihuahuas. You know, you can be all adorable and Chiaro Taco Bell as much as you want, but, I see it in your eyes. You're afraid of everything. You're afraid of everything. You're like a child that was raised by wolves. Only you're sort of like a wolf raised by a child, actually.
My friends Mark and Kelly had two chihuahuas, and one of them was kind of mean, and the other one was afraid of everything. And eventually, the mean one which was older died. And it turned out that the other one was really just afraid of the older one. And once it died, it was the happiest little dog.
Even a happy chihuahua still probably wants to die pretty bad. I don't know. You know, and I don't feel the same. Like I don't know. Maybe I have this vague sense that, like, a German Shepherd, which I think is, like, a nice, respectable dog, you know, is somehow less of an abomination because it's, like, closer to a wolf, you know? It's, like, closer to, like, some actual, genuine thread of natural organism than you know, some tiny dog. I don't know. I mean, that's why I only have pet cheetahs. My house cat is actually a cheetah. It's runty. Very small.
Small cheetah.
Yeah. It's really fast. When I open a can of cheetah food, it's there, like, almost before
can
I've...
Of Cheetos?
Yeah.
Because Cheetos come in cans.
Yep.
Like Japanese light bulbs.
What was it, that Wondermark cartoon about the guy that discovered eating Cheetos with chopsticks?
Yeah.
Ugh. God, if I could ever eat a fucking Cheeto again... I think that I actually managed... I don't know if I told this story on the radio. I probably did, because it seems like the kind of just fucking disgusting, total overshare
good one, guys.
Personal thing that I would do. So, when we played Dungeons & Dragons, when Smoove was here, I was like, alright, the entire night, fucking Mountain Dew and Cheetos. That's what so I got. I bought like a six-pack of Mountain Dew and a giant bag of Cheetos, and I just sat drinking Mountain Dew and eating Cheetos. I ate like half a bag of Cheetos while we were playing Dungeons & Dragons, because I was like, haha. Dungeons and Dragons, Mountain Dew and Cheetos, ha! And then the next day, I was taking a dump, and it smelled exactly like Cheetos. Like,
oh.
And I was like, ugh, that is no good. That is no good. If that smell can make it all the way through me without even being overcome by the smell of shit, this is not a product.
That's pretty wrong.
This is not a product that mankind should eat. Because, you know, it's one thing, like, I ate some asparagus and my pee smells weird. Yep, that's just weird. It's not like your pee smells like asparagus, right? It just smells weird. But, like, you know, that's like, Oh, those nickels I ate, they just came out my ass, embedded in these turds. I guess that means I probably shouldn't eat nickels, right? So I shouldn't eat anything that smells like Cheetos. Anything that makes it all the way through your ass without changing consistency. I mean, it has to start at your mouth, right? Like, I'm not saying, like... Although, anything that makes it all the way through your ass by virtue of you sticking it up your ass, you probably also shouldn't eat. So I guess the rule does go both directions. Cheetos. But anyway, that's a good idea, eating Cheetos with chopsticks.
Yeah.
If I were still a Cheeto-eating man, I would feel like that was pretty impressive.
Zach
as a tactic.
Johnson was a Cheeto-eating man. Anyway.
That was a good song that you...
Thank you.
What's the next verse?
I'm not sure I need one.
Share with the class.
I could not remember the tune to, what was it, Jack Henry was a steel-driving man, or whatever.
John Henry? But you call him Jack because he's a buddy of yours. You're on a nickname basis with Mr. Jonathan Henry?
Yeah.
You actually call him Jack Hank? That's how familiar you are with him? Let's see. A lot of these questions... Hotel Man says... Hey, Juck, could you make an item like a pair of Talims Tonefas from Soul Calibur? You already did Nightmare Sword, which is the Spirit Precipice, or maybe Ivy's Sword. I don't. I thought I'd ask. I mainly only read that because he called me Juck. Because I think that's funny. When I make a character in a video game, sometimes I will name it Juck. Let's see. Evangion Q says, we have a shouting filter in chat, but no spam filter for when players type way too many lines too fast. Any chance you could implement a spam filter? That's a pretty good idea. I mean, I feel like I would have done it if back in the day when I was working on the chat stuff, if I had thought of a good way to do it. Because, you know, it requires you storing some extra data, which probably seemed like a big deal at the time. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I thought that the repetition filter was helpful. This, you know...
I keep running into it when I want to type ha 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 ha.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to add or subtract the number of ha's I'm using.
Right, which then you're being disingenuous about how funny you thought something was.
Exactly.
You're either giving someone short shrift or you're giving someone long shrift.
Yeah.
Or long pork.
Mm-mm.
The long shrimp. Like, that's if you eat somebody who swims a lot.
Yeah, okay.
Or somebody who's short. Yeah, like midget flesh is long shrimp. And like a really big dude would be like long bull.
Or long giraffe.
Yeah, and like a guy who kind of looked like a duck's penis would be long duck dong. Evangion Q says, why are beefy bodyguard bats considered bosses? I think he's just making up tongue twisters.
Yeah.
Well, that was because I fucked up trying to solve the Herald's Bell problem. At some point, I should investigate why that happens. That's the only place in the game where, by doing things normally, you can... I know why it is.
Monsters from a... Monster zone?
Okay, so when you banish monsters from a zone, it makes sure that the monster list has at least one monster in it. Like, if you Popper and Herald's Bell and whatever, all three monsters in a zone, it will pick a monster at random and put it back in the queue so that you can encounter a monster when you're adventuring there. The problem with the boss bat layer is that the boss bat has a conditional that doesn't let you encounter him unless you've spent a given number of turns beating the bodyguards. And so the logic that determines whether or not there's a monster in the list doesn't take into account the fact that there's a conditional that's going to reject it.
Huh.
Right? And so it's like, all right, you've poppered the bodyguards. Let's see what this queue of monsters looks like. Oh, there's still a monster in it. All good. So then when it just tries, you know. I don't know if it actually iterates through a bunch of times and, like, there's some fail-safe. Because there's a lot of things. If I'm not sure that something can't, under some weird circumstances, produce an infinite loop, I will frequently put, like, a variable in there that just, if this variable gets to 1,000, just give up. Yeah. Right? Like, as, just as a, you know, like I said, as a fail-safe for, you know, poorly thought-out game logic. But I don't think that's actually what's happening. I think it is actually just getting down to where it's trying to pick an pick a member of an array with zero elements in it. It knows that that has happened and throws the error, couldn't find an appropriate monster in the zone, exiting, which that's just not meant. That was like a fucking debugging thing, right? That's that was not meant for somebody to ever see. But it only happens in zones where it is possible for you to banish every monster except monsters with conditionals that also have states that will reject them all. So right now there's only one place in the game where you can make it happen, right? We found something, it was weird, in the kegger thing, which that's, I can talk about that, that's out, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't played it yet, but it is out.
There was a bug that, there was a 25% chance, the initial way that I set up the zone, there was a 25% chance that if you'd given beers to all of the frat boys and gotten them out of the queue, that you would not get, that you would get that message. And in all the testing that I did, it just never happened. And then when Hot Stuff tested it, it just always happened to him. So I was like, I don't even know what, I don't get it. And I just couldn't get it to happen to me. Actually, I think it might have been a 50% chance. What that was, this was interesting. So the sorority girls had, no, it was a 1 in 8 chance, actually, because there were three different sorority girls, or three different, you know, frat, juvenile, underage girls that you were trying to fuck.
Right. Same thing.
Same thing. There were three of them. They all had 50% die roll rejection conditionals, right? Because they're less common than the boys at the party. Because isn't that always, you know, isn't that always the way you go to a, you go to a, you go to a party out in the woods and it's a fucking sausage fest?
Yep.
So if all three of those conditionals got rejected, and you had banished the other three monsters by getting rid of them with the beer, then it would throw that no appropriate monster in the zone. So I ended up fucking up the odds by just actually putting multiple copies of the boys in the queue and getting rid of the 50-50 rejection on the girls, so that that wouldn't happen. Instead of fixing the problem more generally, I guess I would say that you could solve that problem by just evaluating the conditional before you put the monster in the queue at all, but sometimes the conditionals actually do something that assumes that you're going to be fighting that monster afterwards, because there was like, oh, you put in a place where you can execute arbitrary code, people are going to work around weird design problems by making it execute arbitrary code. We should make a new game that makes sense.
You think we could if we tried?
No. We should make like 10 new games for this item of the month. I mean, three. So I get people's hopes up. Anyway, that's why the Beefy Bodyguard Bat is a boss. Buddy.
Booyah.
Box says, how have I not heard of KOL in 6 years of playing online text RPGs? I played all the Iron Realms MUDs, downloaded countless nostalgic text adventures, and broken three keyboards. And then a smiley face with tongue stuck out. So far, one of the best experiences I've had, bar none. Good show, Jick. Keep up the outstanding work. That makes me happy. Yeah. The people who like us are still discovering us after all this time.
That's cool.
Normally when we talk to people, sure, we're like, hey, we work on this game. It's called Kingdom of Loathing. Oh, yeah, I played that five years ago. Yeah, you guys are assholes. I'm like, fuck, why'd you have to be so mean, buddy?
It's nice to know that still people left to help make up the churn rate.
I made up your mom's churn rate.
Ooh.
That doesn't even mean anything.
Yeah.
Evangeon Q says, when it comes to familiar combinations, the one I look forward to most now would be a sombrero / purse rat. Any chance for a familiar of the month? The reason that I don't think that I would do an item of the month that was a sombrero and purse rat is because one of the sort of crucial attributes that an item of the month has to have is that for somebody who barely knows anything about KOL, the item of the month has to be awesome, and it has to be obvious why it's awesome to somebody who doesn't understand the intricacies of, you know, high-end play. And I think that gave you a bunch of plus monster level is decidedly unobvious. Like, it is valuable, but it is valuable to the people who are all hardcore. It is not necessarily a thing that, like, you know, imagine that your mom was playing the game. She would be like, why would I want to pay money to make the monsters harder?
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense. I'm going to go bake a cake.
Even as the creators of the game, it took a long time before we were aware of the awesomeness of monster level ourselves.
Hot stuff knew. Dude. But, yeah.
He just didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, you know. He's Trixie, that hot stuff. He's also changing his name to Trixie. Savin says that if we need to do any canned shows while we're in Germany, just let him know because he's always around and can air them for us. That is handy. That is good. I trust that dude. I know that dude is reliable because he is always on time. He is a dude. Guys, Savin is a guy who is always on time. That is a thing that I can say about him. He always shows up after we do our show, and he never, ever, ever leaves me hanging. Not like those other assholes that I won't name because I can't remember who they are. Oh, I would name them. I don't fucking care. It's hard to be mean to somebody when you don't know their name.
Yeah.
Unless you, like, tell them. Sorry, I forgot your name, dude.
Sorry, I forgot your name, douchebag.
Oh, wait, was your name douchebag?
Oh, that would be a funny coincidence.
Yeah, it would be. Sinistar Douchebag Johnson. I could solve so many of the world's problems all at once by just having more kids.
I often feel that the only thing that I would enjoy about having kids would be getting to name them.
Getting to name them horrible, unspeakable things.
Well, no, if it was a girl, I would name her Felony. I think that's a perfect girl's name.
Felate me. That's a good name for a girl. You don't think?
Stop saying rude things about my imaginary daughter.
Oh, yeah. I once had a girl get angry at me and actually spend a considerable amount of time being angry at me because I made a joke to some guy that was at the bar about how I would fuck his daughter if he had a daughter just to spite him.
Wow. And
that got me in trouble. That got me in trouble. And, like, how the fuck do you respond to something like that? You know, it's almost like, I wish I could come up with the magic combination of nonsense words that would make you not angry at me, because that's how much of a handle I have on the situation. Like, that is my basis for trying to solve this situation, is, like, I feel like I started watching Pee-wee's Playhouse late, and I'm trying to figure out what the secret word is without, you know, like, yes. If you had a daughter, I would totally fuck her. And who'd have thought you would spend hours getting yelled at?
Man.
Women, man. Can't live without them. Can't take a pill that makes you gay. I mean, you could take... I'm not saying, like, no, it's too big, I can't swallow it, which, you know, maybe that's the test. Right? If you can't swallow this pill... if you can't get this into your throat, you'll make a terrible gay dude.
Yeah, it's a suppository. That's what it is, man. You're a bad influence on me.
What? Why? Because you're making... jokes about gay butt stuff.
Yeah.
Ah, gay butt stuff is a good name for a kid, too. Gay butt stuff Johnson.
Oh, or the worst variety of Oreo cookies ever.
Gay butt stuff. Yeah. Now with 40% more felch.
Oh.
bet Scully would be really angry to hear me use Felch as a noun. Because boy, does he hate nut. I was wiping the nut off of the wall. I think he hates that nut is used as a verb, and then he especially hates that it is used as a noun, meaning the product of the verb. Oh, boy. Really cranking up the level of Discord's a couple notches in Hot Stop's absence. Hey, Riff, have you seen The Fantastic Mr. Fox?
I have not. Is it still playing?
No, I feel like it was months and months and months ago. Okay. It's out on DVD now.
Oh, if it is out on DVD, then I will Netflix it.
You should. It's really good. I saw it because Hot Stuff Netflixed it. Because Hot Stuff has my Netflix queue. That's a bond of trust right there, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
He could get me on all kinds of lists. He could rent the How to Blow Up the White House movie.
What, Armageddon? Or?
No, I think you meant Independence Day, right?
Oh, yeah. I can't keep those movies straight.
I can keep them straight because I have seen Independence Day.
Okay, I haven't seen either of them.
Oh, so. Wow, you didn't see Independence Day?
Nope.
Huh. I saw it in the theater because I was like, you know, I like a movie where shit blows up every once and again.
I mean, the movie where an Apple laptop saves the world, I can get behind that.
It's not really an Apple laptop, it's Jeff Goldblum.
Okay. Right? I can also get behind that.
You know what? You know what was really, really funny the first time I saw it and does not hold up at all to repeat exposure is the drunk Jeff Goldblum videos.
I don't think
it's just somebody took videos of Jeff Goldblum and just slowed them down in parts to make it seem like he's really drunk.
Huh.
And sort of, you know, slurring. And it was really funny the first time I watched it. And I went back, like, you know, a couple years later and I'm like, man, this is just kind of stupid.
Doesn't sound like a happy in Paraguay.
I feel like the internet really wants Jeff Goldblum to be a funny meme, but they keep not catching on. Like, Jeff Goldblum is watching you poop.
Like, yeah, you can't force that kind of thing.
Yeah. Although, I mean, they did force Andre the Giant to have a posse, right?
Yeah.
And what else? Lol cats. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Go ahead.
I got nothing.
Prinikweezer says, do people ever offer to trade you weird things for Mr. Accessories? What's the weirdest offer you've ever gotten? No. You'd think they would. But
there is that dude, the first Comic-Con I worked at, that desperately pleaded with me to swap him one of our t-shirts for a couple of unsold PS2 games. I guess he worked at one of the Sony booths or something. They had a bunch of leftover stock, and he was like, I'll swap you one of these games for a t-shirt. And I was like, man, these are all really crappy games. He was like, two? I was like, alright.
what were they? What'd you get?
Evil Dead and I think the Punisher game.
Huh. So two movie license games?
Yeah.
And they're terrible?
I have not actually unwrapped them. I have heard that they are terrible.
Yeah, no. You know what I wish would happen is that I wish a lot more beautiful girls would offer me sexual favors in exchange for Mr. Accessories. But they don't. That, like, literally never happens even once.
Nobody's asked you to autograph her tits or anything?
No. That's more Scully's kind of thing.
Harem kind of thing.
I don't want to interact with boobs unless they're attached to something that I'm gonna have sex with, right? You know, like I don't get a weird thrill out of like super limited sexual contact. I guess, which I know some people do, right?
Yeah, no, I can stand on your side of the fence there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, which is not to say that, like, I don't want to, like, say, see a picture of some boobs that are attached to a girl that I'm not going to have sex with, right? Or see some boobs. You know, I've been around some places where some girls were taking their shirts off, and it's like, all right, that's okay. I'm okay with looking at some boobs. But I don't want to be all like, gropey, gropey. Like, see you later.
Yeah.
That's, you know, what the fuck is that all about? Because I'm like, what am I going to do with this boner? Right, same thing I do every night, I guess. Which is stick in the meat grinder.
Whee!
And crank it 1/8 of one turn.
What, just as a warning?
No, I'm... Because it grows at about that rate, so I have to keep it. I have to keep it at, like, a sane...
I see. So like a like a pencil sharpener.
Yeah. Only bigger.
Mm, right.
And with no rigid column of graphite inside it. Well, usually. Sometimes. I mean, you
never know.
Yeah. Eric Wan says, will chat macros ever have the same functionality as combat macros? Now that you have balls, it might make sense to use them elsewhere.
Yeah. I don't know how that silly balls abbreviation.
C.D. Moyer did it on purpose.
Oh, did he?
He described it.
Did he described it that way somewhere? Because I never saw it used anywhere.
It was a basic automated loathing language script. He did. I think he was talking about it in like in some clan forums or something. So the thing about doing that for regular chat macros is
yes.
Yeah, I don't know. People want to be able to adventure via a macro. And that, I think, is a line that we will never cross.
Yeah, taking it too far.
Tiny Plastic Grimmy says, you keep mentioning our new game. More details, please. More details as they arise. Stupak2 says, I just got a new phone, and one of the options for the text message sound was called Ascend. Naturally, that's now my text message noise. Yeah. If it had had a complain about large boxes message sound, then that would be... Solve Omnis says, consider that any movie containing an event that has surprised you does not, by definition, have an omniscient narrator. Also, consider the distinction between narrative and narrator. No, okay. That is complete nonsense. Just because a movie doesn't have an omniscient narrator does not mean... Like, a movie having an omniscient narrator does not mean that at the beginning of the movie, you as the viewer know everything about everything. It is not like omniscience in the theological sense, right? Yeah. I would argue...
I mean, omniscient narrator isn't... The reader or viewer is not the narrator.
Yeah.
And if the narrator is omniscient, that doesn't mean they're telling you everything.
And the medium is not the message.
Right.
And, Chick and Riff are not saving, and that's how you know that we're not going to be on the radio anymore, and saving is. Saving is. All right. And since it's the end of the show, as we know it, we'll go out on It's the End of the World as we know it. Goodbye, everybody!
See you.
Alternatives and I decline. It's the end of the
Sitting at Brass Nap, Lenny Bruce and Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, symbiotic, patriotic, slam, button, nap, right? It's the end of the world as we know it.